We could end racism right here today if the church would literally listen to the scripture and do what the scripture said. Uh-huh. Yes. All right. Oh, you didn't get that? Then let me see if I can go a little bit further with this. Because in the 1690s, you have to understand that in the 1690s, the term white was then legalized in Virginia. And the reason why it was legalized is because it replaced the term English, Dutch, and all that, because they wanted to make sure that there was a legal term to be able to define who you were as it relates to the law. And so it became white versus everybody else. White versus black, white versus Native American, white versus, because white became the standard. Now, this is the word. But the word says that the only standard is God's standard. Yeah. Yeah. God never had a color to be a standard. No. It was only one blood. Right. Yeah. Right. Going to get straight into the word on this morning. It's going to be between the day and next Sunday, and we'll get a chance to get it all done. Amen. Amen. Open your Bibles to the book of Acts, the 17th chapter. We began an introduction on last week. We're going to ask the babies to go ahead and go on down. Amen. For Children's Church. And I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles again to the 17th chapter of Acts, 22nd verse. Amen. Acts 22. I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to read this one more time. I know we read it last week. We're going to read it one more time until y'all hearing this week. I want y'all to get a fresh reading. Amen. But I'm sure all y'all went home and read through it already. So just, just help me out, and just... I know y'all read it already, but we're going to read it one more time. Amen? Amen. Amen. It says, then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with the inscription to the unknown God. Therefore, one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in the temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands. And though he needs anything, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things, and he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and the boundaries of, amen, and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and we move and have our being, as also some of your poets have said, for we are also his offspring. May the Lord bless the readers, hearers, and doers of his holy word. You may be seated. We're going to continue asking the question, is God unknown to you? But I want to see, we shout really quickly at verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our being. But before we get to that point, I want to continue our conversation from last week. You know, how we talked about how did Paul even get to the point of saying, then Paul stood in the midst. In other words, we talked about how he got to that point of standing. And so while he got to that point of standing, he says, then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus. Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. And we talked a little about what, you know, what the Areopagus was, you know, the a point of meeting, you know, of the, you know, all the philosophical thinkers, a point of also meeting for to get business done and even for trials at that point in time. And so Paul was in a place where a lot of the great thinkers were. And so he saw that in that place there was an inscription, you know, to the unknown God. And I want to continue the conversation from last week about what that is, and about, you know, we talked about how God got to this place. I mean, how Paul got to this place. And so because Paul now is standing in this place, he's standing in this place and he wants to share with them a message that God has given him to share with the people. And so when I looked at this, I was looking at a couple of things here. And so if we want to talk about this thing about how Paul was able to stand and proclaim, you know, the word of God, you know, there's a few reasons why he was able to do this. And I want us to be able to take that example of Paul, you know, and how Paul was able to stand throughout everything he got through to get to this place, because he knew who God was. And so I want to be able to use Paul as an example. And I want us to be able to take to heart what Paul has done and try to be able to implement that in our lives. Is that okay? So, like I say, Paul knew who God was. And so there's just a few things here I want to kind of point out to you, a few points or a few observations I want to share to you on how Paul knew and how we should be able to know, amen, who God is. Is that okay? Yeah. So Paul says, you know, I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship. Now, y'all know we've talked many times about worship, and you know, I've given many definitions of worship, so I won't give a whole lot of definitions. We know what worship is. You know, worship is the ability to be able to come face to face with God, all that good stuff. But my definition, I've always said, is I call it Elohistic worship. I call it the ability for you and I to be able to worship, you know, and to be informed in that worship by Elohim. And so that worship is informed and influenced by Elohim. Your emotions are informed and influenced by Elohim. Your emotions. In other words, I had to get checked in a couple of times because I was always told that, you know, because I was always saying, man, it don't take all that. Well, guess what? It really do take that and then some. And so, and God created us with emotions. So I had to really look at how I was defining worship. But I realized I was actually, Brother God, defining worship wrong, because I was trying to define worship without emotion. But understand that worship is actually full of emotion. But the question is, where is the emotion placed in the worship? And so when I came up with the term Elohistic worship, I meant the fact that our emotions were informed and influenced by Elohim, versus our emotions informing and influencing him. So he informed them versus them informing him. In other words, when you come face to face and heart to heart with God, there is no way that you can't walk away feeling something because of your encounter and your engagement with God. And so if we don't know God, then we can't have full worship, because you don't know who you are worshiping. You don't know who you are engaging. You don't know who you are, you know, encountering. So therefore, in other words, he said that y'all don't have the right worship.
Come on now.
Oh, you missed that. He says, how can you worship a God that you don't know? And so my question to you also is, how can you worship a God that you don't know? You know, I say that worship is the intentional and intimate interplay with the infinite divine. In other words, it's intentional. It's an interplay. It's a back and forth. Don't miss that. It's a back and forth, you know, intimately with an infinite God. That's what worship is. But you can't have that intimacy if you don't know him. It won't be intentional if you don't know him. Okay, y'all. So y'all get the picture. So Paul says to the unknown guy, I'm going to tell you, he says, therefore, to one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim, because I know him. Okay. All right. Let me see. So let's look at this. So the first thing you must do in order for you to understand how to make God known to you, like Paul did, here's what we must do. Y'all ready for this? We must check our perception. Let's see. Paul says somewhere in here, he says, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are religious, for I was passing through and considering the option of your worship. I even found an altar of the inscription to the unknown God." See, they had the wrong perception of who God was. See, we have to check our perception of who God is. Okay. This term God, you know, we have this term God, you know, and it's, we know it's the term Elohim, you know. It's what we call the pluralistic God, the, you know, the almighty creator God. We know that term, but understand what that term really goes into when you start looking, especially Genesis 1:1, when it says God created. And so when you look at that, who God is, no, God is more than just God. He is Elohim. He is the creator. He is that spiritual person, that spiritual being that is, because of him, everything else exists. But you have to understand that God, he sits in what I call a transcendent position. In other words, he sits high, you know, but also he's also here with you and I, but he also transcends. In other words, he passes through and he goes beyond space and time. He's bigger than time. So you have to understand that this is who God is. In other words, God is just not who you want him to be. As a matter of fact, my mind cannot comprehend an infinite God. Your finite mind, you cannot comprehend an infinite God. In other words, as he sits in this transcendent position, understand God is bigger than being. Yeah. Well, as the old folk would say, he's so wide you can't get around him. He's so high you can't go over him. He's so low you can't go under him. But that's who he is. But not only is his position transcendent, but he's also what I call, he has what you call Trinitarian presence. In other words, God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know, he's not God the Father by himself. He's not God the Son by, he's not God the Holy Spirit by himself. He is God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is all three enacting as one. He has this one essence, yet three functions. And so God the Father, he created heaven and earth, but then the Son spoke it into heaven, then spoke it into existence, but then the Holy Spirit maintains and sustains existence. So he's God, the Trinitarian God. He had the Trinitarian presence. So he was in the Old Testament, and then he was also in the New Testament. He's now, and he's going to be after we leave. You missed that right there. But then, because he's also the creator, he had what you call transformational power. Because he's the creator. He has transformational power. He can speak and transform your life with a word. You know, what I find out, Deacon Jack, is this, that we spend all our life trying to, what's some of the words now that they use, you know, being a better you. Being a better you. And we put all of our finite energy, bro, into trying to be a better you. Trying to be a better person. You don't have the skills and the ability to be a better you without God. I know some of y'all are going to say, well, I can work on myself. Yeah, you can work on yourself, but I guarantee you work on yourself, but I'm going to work on me with God, and let's see who gets the furthest. Because I'm not bragging on my skills. I'm bragging on his transformational power in my life. See, what happened is we're trying so much by ourselves, and that's why we can't get where we need to go, and that's why we can't be who we need to be, because we're trying to do it without the transforming power of Elohim in our life. Yeah. But you don't know that because you don't know God. Yeah, I know we're very intelligent people. But where do you think that you got the intelligence from? He says, y'all got this inscription to an unknown God.
Come on now.
But let me tell you who this God is. Because you got the wrong word on him. So, in other words, we have to check our perception. But you know how you check your perception? I'm glad you asked that question. That's a good question. Here's how you check your perception. Now, if you read further, he says, God who made the world and everything in it, since he Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshiped with men's hands. You know, and then it says he gives to all life, breath, and all things, and he has made from one blood every nation. I mean, y'all know what he's doing right here, right? He's going back to the scriptures. Oh, y'all missed that right there? So if you want to check your perception, we need to check our perception. Let's go to the scriptures. The scriptures should be able to inform you about who God is. And once the scriptures inform you about who God is, then you begin to interact with what the whom the scripture has called you. And when you begin to interact and experience him, he begins to show himself to you even more so. Okay, let me see here. He says, him I proclaim to you, God who made the world and everything in it. Let me give you one example, and I'm going to get off this thing, and I want to keep moving because we need to talk about how you can check your perception with the scriptures. But I need to show you something here because something that just stood out to me, especially with everything that's going on in today's time. In verse 26, it says, and he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell. That's interesting, isn't it? So what is he saying? He is made from one blood. So in other words, one blood. He didn't say from one race. He didn't say from one people. He said from one blood. If you want to stop racism in America, you can go back to the scriptures. Because understand something, nowhere in scripture, I share in the session I do with the county, nowhere in scripture does God say that your color is what counts. As a matter of fact, every time he uses the term race, which is like six or seven times, about two or three times, and when he uses those times, it's about an actual race, an actual competition. Right. He never uses the term race as in color. Right. And so he says he created from one blood all nations. Yeah. From one blood, not one race, from one blood. Yeah. The issue is, if you want to end all this nonsense, and I'm not trying to go political, but I need you to understand, if you want to end all this nonsense with race, 2025 and all this, if you want to end this, if the church were to be the church and teach the scripture and allow you to understand what the scripture is, you could end it today. Paul is searching the scriptures. Paul said, hey, I'm not going to tell you what I think. I'm going to go back and I'm going to quote, you know, God who made the world and everything in it. That's Genesis 1:1. Yeah. Right? He is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made by hand, with hands. That's Kings. That's Solomon in 2 Kings. Uh-huh. Nor is he worshiped with men's hands as though he needed anything. That's Psalms. Since he gives all breath, life, breath, and all things. That's also in the book of Psalms. And he made from one blood every nation. That's Genesis. Paul is quoting scripture. Yes. Yes. You want to be able to check your perception? Be informed by the scripture. How are you informed by the scripture? I'm glad you asked that question. Because see, all you got to do is search the scriptures. In other words, you have to learn from them. You know, you search the scriptures. You learn from the scriptures. Because that's who he speaks of. In other words, you know, the scriptures, you know, he knew as he searched the scriptures that God didn't make heaven and earth. So when we search the scriptures, we may hear about people like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, and how God interacted with their lives. If you search the scriptures, you might hear about people like Moses, Joshua, and Caleb, how God interacted with their lives. Don't miss this. If you search the scriptures, you might hear about people like Shamgar, Deborah, Gideon, Samson, and how God searched, interacted with their lives. Y'all don't know these names. Y'all must not search the scriptures. Because if you search the scriptures, you'll see how Ruth and Esther and people like Ezra and Nehemiah interacted with God and he interacted with them. If you search the scriptures, you may be able to see like how David, Solomon, Jehoshaphat, and Hezekiah and Josiah, the kings of Israel, how they interacted with God and how God interacted with them. If you search the scriptures, you may be able to see how Nathan, Elisha, and Elijah, how they interacted with God. If you search the scriptures, you might be able to see how Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel, how they interacted with God. If you search the scriptures, you might be able to see how Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, and Habakkuk. You know how they, Zephaniah, Zechariah, Haggai, and Malachi, how they search and interacted. If you search the scriptures, you might see how they interact. If you might be able to see how Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, and Peter, how they interacted with God. If you search the scriptures, it'll show you how they interacted with God. If you search the scriptures. But if you don't even search the scriptures, understand something. If you are a mother, if you are a father, if you are a grandmom or a grandfather, if the people don't see nothing else, they should see how God interacted with you in your life. See, I need to make sure. See, I can stand and say, you know, I want to know the God that my mama know. Because my mama showed him to me as she interacted with him while I was growing up. I want to know the God that my grandmama knew. Because my grandma was showing that to my mama. I don't know the God that my daddy know. I don't know the God that my grand. Why? Because I watched how he interacted with them in their life. My children need to know the God that I know. My grandchildren need to know the God that they Mufasa know. That's my name, Mufasa. Not granddad, it's Mufasa. They need to know the God that Mufasa knows. Because I have to lead them to the scriptures. Because when I lead them to the scriptures can reveal who this God is. And then God will no longer be unknown to you. The reason why God is unknown to many of us right now is because we don't have those examples. You got to search the scriptures. Learn of the scriptures. But not only you search, you must be satisfied with the scriptures. In other words, you got to love them. They'll miss everything. You got to love them. See, in other words, you got when you're satisfied with the word of God, you're satisfied with God. And I'm not talking about, you know, that, you know, it's this, you know, let's hold hand and sing kumbaya, all is great and wonderful. I ain't talking about that. The question is, do you love them when things are not going so well with you? Do you love them when all hell is breaking loose in your life? Do you love them when you can't explain why things are happening to you and against you, and yet you can you still love him? Are you still satisfied with the scriptures? Do they still speak to you? Do you still embrace the scriptures? Paul still embraced the scriptures. He said, hey, dude, I'm going to tell you who this God is. Even though I've come through a bad time, even though people have kicked me out of the cities, even though they tried to kill me, tried to stone me, I'm going to still tell you who this God is. Do you love the scriptures to that point? Or do you walk away from them when you get mad at him? Now, I got to admit, just a moment of transparency for y'all. I got to admit, there's been a few times, Sister Hattie, that I didn't want to walk away from God. A few times, Brother God, I want to just, hey, you know what, God? Do your thing, I'm going to do mine. Because I can't understand why you did what you did. But then that put me in the mindset of Jeremiah. You know, and Jeremiah, you know, y'all heard the stuff, you know. You know, we shout at the scripture where it says, Jeremiah said, the word is like fire shut up in my bones. Yeah, we shout about that. But I want y'all to, at some point in time, go and read the story of Jeremiah. Because Jeremiah said, Lord, I'm upset with you because you seduced me. Uh-oh. Oh, he said, you tricked me, God. You told me that I was doing what was right. You told me that I was getting your word. You told me, and I'm now in this prison, locked up, getting ready to die. You tricked me. You seduced me. I don't want to say nothing else about you in my life. That's what all happened before he said, but then the word was like fire. Shut up in me, in my loins. In other words, he said it was so hot I couldn't contain it no more. I couldn't hold it back no more. Even though you was messing up, I can't hold it. I gotta still do your will. I gotta still preach your word. I gotta still, even though I know you messed me up, God. But at the end of the day, Jeremiah said, but I still got to do what you say do.
Yes.
Are you satisfied with the scriptures? Are you, do you love the scriptures? And then not only should you be satisfied, but then you should also then show the scriptures. You got to live them. So you got to live them. So not only you learn and love them, but you got to live them as well. So is the scriptures on display in your life? Is the word of God on display in your life? Can they say when they see you, they see a man of God? Can they say when they see they see a woman of God? Can they say when they see you, they see someone who loves the Lord? Not who can quote scripture.
Amen.
I'm saying it all the time. Not one who can quote scripture.
Yes.
Not one, Sister Star, who got the church talk down pat.
Uh-huh.
When they see you, can they say, that goes, that man of God. There goes that woman of God.
Yeah.
So you got to live the scriptures.
Yeah.
You got to show them. But then you have to share the scriptures.
Yeah.
You got to leave that legacy. You got to plant the scriptures in your son's heart. You got to plant the scriptures in your daughter's heart. You got to plant them in your grandchildren's heart, your great-grandchildren's heart.
Yeah.
You got to plant the scriptures.
Yeah.
Because Paul tells us that, you know, that he said that you provoke that your children, men, you provoke them if you do not. Because what he said, you know, he said, do not provoke them in anger, but rear them in the fear and admonition of the word of God. All he's saying is that if you don't rear them in God's word, you provoke them unto wrath.
Yeah.
So if they don't know the word, they're going to display wrath. Because they don't know how to defend and how to deal with all that's coming against them because you did not teach them the word of God. We've got to check our perception. Paul verse 24 through verse 27, all he is doing is recounting the scriptures to the folk that know the scripture, Sister Lucy.
Yeah.
He teaching the unbelievers what the scriptures are.
Yes.
But note, he didn't quote anything. He just said, hey, I'm telling you, this God is one who created the world. This God who dwells, who cannot dwell in temples but made by man's hands.
Yeah.
I want you to, I got two more points to go. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to say those 2 points.
Amen.
Lord willing, for next week. Because I want you to understand, y'all, at the end of the day, how many of y'all got your Bible in your hand? How many got your Bible in your hand? You got your Bible in your hand? Okay, just in case you have your Bible, if you got your phone, you got the Bible on the phone, raise your hand. Raise it up real quick. Just raise it up. Y'all, nobody else got no Bible or phone in their hand with the word on it? Okay, now come on. Now, this is a Bible teaching church.
Amen.
So that what you have in your hands should be now translated from your head into your heart.
Uh-huh.
And then it should be then pushed into and delivered into and poured into those around you.
Uh-huh.
If you don't know the scriptures, you don't know God. That's what Jesus told the Pharisees. He says, hey, you have the scriptures and you think you have life in them, but there is one that is standing before you. You're rejecting the very one that they speak of. He says, so therefore, if you are rejecting Christ, you are rejecting what you are reading. And guess what? If you're not even reading, you don't even know who he is. Paul gives us the example solely of he went to the scriptures on them. Don't ever let somebody tell you in this world that this is simply just a book that's written by man. That's a lie from the devil's hell. What you have in your hand is the very thing that God has given you and I, the very design he's given you and I, the very instructions that he's given you and I to live this life according to him, so that when you get down in this life,
yes. Come on now.
You have another life.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, while you living this life, I didn't get to the other part, while you living this life, he said, I can live this life with you and in you and through you, and you can then walk in the deliverance, you can walk in the power in which I purposed you to if you live according to this word here. But if you don't know the word, how can you know God? How do we make God known to us? The first point, we must check our perception. And you check your perception by searching the scriptures, being satisfied with the scriptures, by showing the scriptures and sharing the scriptures. That's how you begin to know who this God is. Amen. That's how you begin to know who this God is. This God who has transformational power. This God who has a Trinitarian presence. He has a presence in your life. This God who is transcendent positionally. Basically, he's there, he's here, he's there, he's everywhere. Amen. When he was with Paul writing this back in the 60s AD, he was with us here today while he was writing it back then with Paul. And gonna be here with our children, our grandchildren when we leave here. Amen. Know who he is. Don't keep talking about who God is. Know who he is. And you can't know who he is if you don't search the scriptures. Because he even says, in them they will reveal who I am. We're gonna leave it at that for today. And we're going to finish up, Lord willing, next week. Because not only do we need to check our perception, we also need to also capitulate our psyche, and then we need to also clarify our position. We'll talk about that next week.
All right. Amen. Bless the Lord.
Amen.